I'm John Dankosky from Next and the New England News Collaborative. On Tuesday, November 20th, more than 2 years after a referendum to legalize marijuana, two recreational marijuana shops opened in the state of Massachusetts. What followed? Well, long lines and a lot of excitement.
I'm probably just going to buy a couple joints and an edible. This is about the spirit of the gesture, you know?
I think it's wonderful. I think it's good for everybody, good for the state, and good to get out of the shadows and into the light.
What a moment. We are so excited to finally be here today. You know, this is really about acknowledging that there is now a place for cannabis in our society, and that place is no longer in the shadows.
That was the first time I smoked marijuana and decided, wow, this is really good stuff. And why should I have to sneak around and face jail time and so on and so forth just to sit back and smoke a little cannabis? So since I was 13, yeah, I've been waiting to legally buy marijuana. What a concept, huh?
That was John Carter, Ralph Raposa, Amanda Rositano, and Eric Liedberg. Also there on opening day was Dan Adams. He's the cannabis reporter for the Boston Globe. He joins us now. Dan, welcome to Next.
Thanks for having me.
Why don't you tell us about these two shops, first of all, the first two that opened up last week?
Sure. Well, they're both currently operating as medical marijuana dispensaries. So they've been in business for some time, and now they've gotten permission to add the recreational component to their operation. Of course, as you can imagine, with only two stores open in the whole state, or actually two stores open in the entire eastern United States, the lines are long, demand is high, and people are coming from all over the place to check it out.
Yeah, we've been reporting on long lines at the dispensary called Cultivate in Leicester, Massachusetts. A lot more traffic than people in that town were expecting.
Yeah, I was at an emergency meeting at Town Hall in Leicester last night, and some of the residents there are none too pleased about the crowds, complaining about long lines of traffic, people urinating on their lawns because they've been stuck in line for so long, things like that. And so the town is trying to make some changes to its operations plan there to address those concerns. Of course, as I pointed out in my story this morning in the Globe, really the only thing that's going to make a difference is more stores opening to alleviate some of that demand.
Okay, so when will that happen? It's taken this long to get two stores up and running. When will we start to see more?
That's the only question anyone asks me these days. It's likely that we'll have another store or two or three perhaps by the end of the year. But this is going to continue to be a deliberate rollout. We're going to see dribs and drabs here and there, but we're not going to suddenly see dozens of stores open up at once.
What's the process that they still have to go through? Why does it take so long to roll more out if there's this huge demand?
Well, they've got to go through a really extensive review process by the state, the Cannabis Control Commission. They've got a long list of regulations that they've got to make sure these businesses are complying with, everything from the labels on the packages to the security systems and cameras that they've got set up to inventory tracking systems that, from the moment they plant a cannabis seed, it's associated with an RFID tag and it's assigned a unique number, and that plant is tracked all the way through its grow cycle, through being processed into other products, like an edible or something like that, and then packaged and sold. And they can trace that throughout the entire supply chain. So all those things are sort of being put in place. They do multiple inspections throughout this process as the stores get closer to opening or the other marijuana businesses get closer to opening to make sure that they're in compliance with all those rules. And there's just a lot of rules. It takes a long time to check for these things.
What were the sales like on opening day and opening week? Were they more than expected? We had long lines, but were they selling more pot than we expected?
I think the sales were more or less in line with what the businesses expected. If you ask them, if you ask the two stores, there were about $440,000 worth of marijuana products sold and more than 10,700 individual products. Certainly the demand is very high. And as we noted, these are the only two stores on the whole East Coast. And we saw license plates there from as far away as, Delaware, Virginia, someone, I heard someone came from Kentucky. So we've got folks from all over the place just coming to check it out. Some people aren't even coming to buy the marijuana. They just want to sort of see the scene, and they feel like this is sort of history happening in front of their eyes.
Well, it gets to this other point about the taxation part of this. The $440,000 of money that customers spent at these two stores turns into about $75,000 to the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. That tax take is something that other states are taking a look at. What are we hearing about states like Connecticut, New Hampshire, which is, of course, famously averse to taxes, Rhode Island and others, as they think about whether or not to go legal like Mass?
Yeah, I think Massachusetts and the advent of legal marijuana sales here is absolutely driving the conversation in surrounding states. I would say in particular, actually, New York. And these states are thinking to themselves, many officials there are thinking to themselves, well, we've got our residents crossing the border into Massachusetts, spending their dollars there, putting money into Massachusetts's tax coffers, and you know, why not get a slice of that for ourselves? Certainly not everybody agrees with that, but you see the conversation happening right now in Vermont, for example. Vermont has what I call legalization light. In other words, they've made it legal to possess and use and buy marijuana, but not to sell marijuana. There's no system of regulated sales there, and folks there can also grow it at home. And I think officials in Vermont are saying, you know, why are we letting people go over the border to Massachusetts and give that state their money when we could be doing the same here?
We're also hearing from the brand new governor-elect of the state of Connecticut, Ned Lamont. Here's what he had to say when asked about Massachusetts sales.
I don't want the black market controlling marijuana distribution in our state. I think that's a lousy way to go. You know, Canada, Massachusetts, others are doing it. That's going to lead to some enforcement things. In the meantime, we enforce Connecticut laws.
And we heard from at least one buyer, Charles LaBelle from Coventry, Connecticut. He was waiting in line to buy recreational marijuana in Massachusetts this past week.
Ned Lamont, the new governor in Connecticut, is talking about he very much supports legalization in Connecticut for recreational purpose. And as a tax income thing, Massachusetts just opened up the new casino, so Connecticut's got to do something to compete.
It's really interesting, Dan, because Massachusetts and Connecticut have been fighting over the opening of this brand new casino in Springfield, Massachusetts. Connecticut trying to build something to maybe forestall some of the people who will be driving north to go to that. Do you see a change maybe happening in Connecticut where they don't want people going north to buy legal pot?
It's certainly possible. And like you said, the new governor there is very supportive of legalization, or the incoming governor, I should say. And, you know, I think that they're definitely just going to keep looking to Massachusetts and potentially trying to outdo us here. The problem in Connecticut, though, is that there's no ballot initiative process. Unlike in Massachusetts, where people were able to sort of force a vote on this issue, Connecticut is going to have to do this in its legislature. And I don't know that there is complete agreement within the legislature about doing this yet.
Last thing for you, Dan. You've mentioned Vermont already. We've talked about Connecticut and New York. Maine, of course, also passed a ballot initiative that would legalize marijuana, and that's been very slow in rolling out as well. And then, of course, Canada, the entire country, is legalizing marijuana as we speak. What do we see as the future, the next year or three in the Northeast, as we go beyond just a few pot shops in a few little Massachusetts towns to something that's much, much bigger? I mean, what are you looking at as far as trends?
The trend of public opinion is extremely clear, and it has been for a long time, which is that public support among voters for marijuana legalization is growing. Support for medical marijuana is well into the 90% range. I think 94% the last poll I saw. Support for legalizing adult use or recreational marijuana is somewhere in the 66, 67% range, something like that. And what's interesting has been the slow realization of the political establishment that is the case. They have not necessarily been very responsive to voters, and that's why we've seen most of the states that have legalized marijuana have done so through a citizens' ballot initiative, not by the action of the legislature. Vermont is the only state that did this through legislation. But I think that a new generation of political leaders is now coming to the forefront, and I think that as that turnover happens slowly and inevitably, we will see more and more states move in the direction of regulated marijuana sales.
Dan Adams is the cannabis reporter for the Boston Globe, and we'll have links to more of his reporting at nextnewengland.org. Dan, as always, great to talk with you. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Listen to Next on NPR One or wherever you get your podcasts.